Again, with another edition of The Word of the King here on the Work Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verses 1 of the King James Authorized Version 1611 in the English language declares, "Who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a saying? The man who maketh his face to shine, and the fullness of his face shall be changed. Keep the king of God. Be not hasty. Go out of his sight. Stand out in evil things. He doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. For the word of the king is there is power. He may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him. Treat him not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given. where the word of the king is, there is power. What doest thou?
Tim, you're breaking up. We didn't catch that title. So.
I just want to thank you once again for your prayers. I know I want to praise the Lord and I want to thank God for your trip recently. We had here in the land. Lord, water seed for sown and pray for him. He, Lord, before the end of the month, seed some together. He went back. I want to pray for the opposite there. In the pot of Christ there in Vegas. I would just remind you again, dear listener, if you have any comments concerning what you hear, go to the King. Email at the word. That's the word. The is in the 1611. Now, I would also encourage you, if you would like, anyway, here at the World Bank, you can read that out. A-L Gruer, G-R-U-E-R, 229 Valley Road. That's 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road. Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-T-O-W-N, Tennessee. 7313. If you write that out to my father, I have a celestial room, I'll cash that seat that gets into my account.
Tim, you're breaking up there. I know you asked me to do something, but you'll have to get a little closer to your Wi-Fi because you're breaking up bad.
What was that, Kenny?
Okay, you'll have to get just a touch closer to your Wi-Fi connection because you're breaking up.
I have good Wi-Fi connection here. That's why. This will not help you where I'm at, where obviously I don't have.
Well, what I'm saying is wherever you're getting your Wi-Fi from, you'll have to get a little closer to it, maybe a few feet closer to the actual connection point.
Sure. Well, go ahead with everything else in the meantime.
There, you're sounding a little clearer right there. What did you say now?
Oh, details. You can contribute and just say some other things so I get in a better location.
Okay. All right. Well, you are in a little better, clearer there. I can hear you a little better, Tim. But for right now, what we're going to do, we'll give you the information. If you wish to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, you have several options. First off, you can go to PayPal and enter the email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4. In both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. If you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, just contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6eyes6@gmail.com. In your subject line, just put donation information requested, and in the body of your email, just indicate you're wishing to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network and need the pay to and snail mail information for that check or money order. And once again, God will richly bless you. All right. If you're wishing to send a donation to Brother Timothy using your credit card and or PayPal account, that's very easily done. Go to Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. That's H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, B-I-B-L-E-S, F-O-R, T-H-E-B-L-I-N-D.org. Once you've entered that into your browser, click enter. You'll be on our website, Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Click the link that says Sow the Seed. Once you've done that, you'll be on the appropriate page. Just go down to where it says Love Offerings, and you'll be on Tim's secure PayPal page. Once you're there, enter the amount of your love gift, and then you can use your PayPal and or credit card to give a donation directly to Brother Timothy Groover. And, of course, any donation you send, he will greatly receive, and God richly will bless you. Amen. Now, of course, because he was breaking up there, he will probably re-give his donation information for checks or money orders here again. And then, of course, if you wish to give any information or check or money orders, etc., first off, if you wish to donate with a credit card or PayPal account for Holiness Bibles for the Blind, just enter the website again, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. Once you've done that, go straight down the home page. You don't have to do anything else. Just go straight down on the bottom where it says Love Offerings. Click that. You'll be on the secure PayPal page for Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Enter the amount of your love gift, and you can use your PayPal and or credit card to give a secure donation right there on our secure PayPal page. And then if you wish to send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, you do that very simply by sending it to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. Again, send any check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T-A-B-U-L-A, Ohio, 44005. And finally, if you wish to get this program or any other program here, the Success Radio Network, just go to your iHeartRadio app if you've got that. If you don't, download it onto your phone or tablet, and then type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Click enter. When we pop up there, just click enter, and then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week, and then you'll be able to listen to the Word of the King even on a Saturday afternoon. So you'll be able to enjoy. All right. Tim, are you back with us?
Does this sound better, Kenny?
Oh, 10,000 times better, yes. So you might want to give your title again and give your donation information for checks again.
To you with another edition of the Word of the King from here in Tel Aviv, Israel. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 1 through 8, in the Word of the King, the King James Authorized Version of 1611, declares, "Who is the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. You may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso shall keep the commandments shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it." Ecclesiastes 8, verse 4, in the Word of the King, King James Authorized Version, 1611, in the English language, declares, "Where the word of a king is, there is power. Who may say unto him, What doest thou?" Here on this edition of the Word of the King, we're going to be looking at and considering relationship and marriage, relationships and marriage. Who can you trust? And you can even turn your Bible a while to Proverbs chapter 3. And Kenny, of course, already mentioned our website at Holiness Bibles for the Blind. I'd encourage you to also, again, listen to Dave Hodges. That's Dave Hodges, Dave, H-O-D-G-E-S, The Common Sense Show. That's Dave Hodges, The Common Sense Show. If you just put there, Yahoo, whatever, and just click on search, you should get Dave's blog there, thecommonsenseshow.com. And also, I encourage you to listen in to Doug Thornton's American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. D as in Victor, I, N, D as in Daniel, I, C as in Cat, T as in Tom, A. American Vindicta. That's Doug Thornton, T-H-O-R-N-T-N. Excuse me, T-H-O-R-N-T-O-N. Doug Thornton. And again, if you just click on search, put that in your search box there, click on search, that should pull up Doug Thornton's blog there at the AmericanVindictaShow.com, and also the audio he has available at GSRadio.net. And also, I encourage you to check out the John McTernan's website at DefendProclaimTheFaith.org. That's www.DefendProclaimTheFaith.org. And also Dr. Scott Johnson, Brother Scott Johnson, at www.contendingforfortruth.com. That's www.contendingforfortruth.com. And then also the website of Mike Adams at www.naturalnews.com. That's www.naturalnews.com. And I would also encourage you, if you have any questions or comments in light of what you hear on this edition of The Word of the King or any other edition of The Word of the King, you can forward those to me via email at thewordoftheking, AV1611@hotmail.com. That's thewordoftheking, AV1611@hotmail.com. See to it to get a response from to that email with whatever questions or comments you may have. And on that note, open us up now in a word of prayer, and I would ask Kenny to then play our first clip. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just want to thank you again, dear Lord God, for another opportunity here on the Word of the King to ultimately, Lord God, bring forth your words, dear Lord God, as we look at relationships and marriage. Who can you trust? And indeed, Lord, there is one we can trust, and that is you, Lord God, leaning on your everlasting arms. I do want to thank you again for the time that I had with Brother Michael, Brother Tim Barnes, they were just in town here, here in Israel, Lord God, the fruitful time of outreach and intense spiritual warfare that we have with you, Lord God. Lord God, as we, by the power of your Holy Spirit, sought to rebuke the unfruitful works of darkness and to preach the gospel, dear Lord God, and to resist the devil together. Father God, thank you again and just ask you to water those seeds and to bring forth the increase and get the traveling mercies as they go to and fro. Continue to give Tim a fruitful time ministry back there in Vegas, and Mike as he goes to and fro on the plane, and also bring him back here safely according to your will here later this month, dear Lord God, as he's supposed to fly back later this month. And now, Lord, I lift up all of our listeners, saved and unsaved alike, Lord. Cause them to get a blessing, dear God, on this edition of the Word of the King and more. Praise you and give you thanks to lift up the situation in the United States of America and throughout the world, Lord God, dear God, that as much as this world may seem to be out of control, it's all in your hands, Lord God, and you are in control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And yes, dear listener, before Kenny plays our first clip, I do want to just ask you to pray and ask the Lord to water the seeds that were sown, because, again, I did have a very fruitful time, praise be to God, in outreach with this Brother Mike Cahill and this Brother Tim Barnes. They were just here in Israel recently. Thanks again for your prayers on that. And now, Kenny, if you would please proceed with our first clip, please.
All right, and I just want our listeners to know, please be patient with us. Don't send a bunch of emails to me, because a lot of people know that they can send emails to me about any complaints or about programming. Just don't be sending complaints about Tim's bad connection. See, he's in Israel. We're just explaining that to our listeners. He's in Israel and sometimes doesn't have a good connection there with his Wi-Fi connections, because he's not as fortunate as we are here in the States and have a lot more connections. So be patient with him, and we're doing the best we can with him there live in Israel so everybody could still enjoy him. So please be patient with us, dear listeners, as we sometimes have a little difficulty with connections. All right. So here we go with our first clip.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to ask you to do two things when you come here. Number one, please make sure that you, subscribe, increase our political power by growing our size. Secondly, we would also ask that you would share these videos with the great unwashed ignorant. We don't wake a lot of people up very quickly, and I mean this summer, the next 30 days, we get a real problem. Yes, I'm talking about CBDC, but it's everything else that's going with it. In this particular report, we're going to be showing you a sponsor that has just revolutionized how people look and feel. It's called Ageless Multicollagen, and it's from, let me turn this the right way, BioTrust. Now, what BioTrust does that I absolutely love, they publish their research, unlike our federal government. They put everything out there and open, this is how this works, these are the studies, this is how you use the product. Absolutely fantastic. And in this particular case, this is about collagen replacement. Now, you lose collagen at a really high rate, and by the time you're in middle age, you've lost over half of it, which is why you look older, your hair is falling out, your joints ache like crazy, and your muscles are always sore, and you lack energy. Well, you can turn that around if you could replace the collagen. Now, there's a lot of imitators out there right now, and their crap doesn't work. This does work because it's proprietary, and you can see all about that when you go to read about the science at healthwithdave.com. Also, they guarantee the product, 60-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, 51% off, free shipping, free nutritional exercise information. This is like one-stop shopping to be younger. The only thing you have to lose is old age. Go to healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. America is turning into one of the loneliest nations on the face of the earth. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And if I were to conduct a PSYOP, understanding psychology as I do, I would do exactly what's happening in society today. We are alienating people like crazy. And I'm going to make some statements here, and some of you are going to say, Dave, how can you say that? Okay, let's start with the facts. 30% of adult Americans across the country live alone. In some cities, and I'll identify those cities in a minute, or the type of city, it's 40%. 40%. With that many single people running around, it's amazing they can't find each other in major urban areas. But they don't. They don't. We are at record lows for people not being married by the age of 40. Childbearing is at an all-time low in this country. This is not good. Now, let me step aside from this and let me go to the health statistics. When I was an undergraduate, I read a packet given to me by my psychology professor, my Psych 101 professor. It was called Executive Monkeys. And they said that when they put monkeys in unpredictable environments and there's a lot of stress, like CEO executives, corporate executives, they said these monkeys developed ulcers and sometimes they became fatal. And like, whoa, there's a mind-body relationship out there. Now, this led to the rise of the field in the field of what we call psychoneuroimmunology, PNI. Mind affects the body, body affects the mind. Up until this time in the field of psychology, to go back and look at the historical literature, they had what they called Descartes dualism. The mind is over here, the body's over here, and then twain, they shall never meet. Well, that's the biggest load of crap ever. So a guy named Friedman came along in the late 70s as a response to the executive monkey study, and he began to study the relationship between certain emotions and physical illness. Now, it's difficult to fix a cause and effect. So what you have to rely on is what we call correlated information. As one variable rises, the other variable rises too. Now, you can have cause and effect. The correlation is basically based on the fact that two variables co-vary together. And sometimes you have coincidence, and we call that spurious relationship. But most of the time, you can see, okay, like if you're learning a language, time on task versus vocabulary mastery. Do you think the two are correlated? Yeah, but it's also cause and effect. But there's interesting things, too, in the field of health where it's hard because health is multifactorial. In other words, multiple variables. But you can correlate, and you can do a multifactorial analysis, what we call multiple regression, where you can line up variables, measure them versus a health condition, and catch the correlations. And then you can rank order them. And this is what Friedman did. I hope I made that simple. I'm a little out of practice teaching statin research because I've been inactive for almost 5 years. And it's been a long time. I got a contract in the mail the other day from the university. I taught at 14 years. I turned it down, but it's kind of funny. It was unsolicited. But I know one of the deans pretty well, so I know where it came from. And I'll say thanks to my friend there for doing that. Okay, let me get down to the point here. They found that loneliness is highly correlated to heart disease. Highly correlated. Depressive thoughts come in. Pessimism comes in. And we know there's a brain chemistry interaction there because when you have that kind of thinking and rumination, you actually, what you do is you increase cortisol levels in your body because it's stress-oriented. And that has a direct effect on the heart in a cumulative fashion over time. So Friedman found there was a high correlation between loneliness and heart disease. Later we found out it was related to cancer, and in women, particularly breast cancer. And so now we started developing all these associations between emotional stability and physical health, and the two were highly correlated. Then there became stress studies. I used to give these to my Psych 101 students to teach the mind-body relationship. You'd give people a list of standardized stress events. There's one for children. There's one for adolescents. There's one for adults. There's one for older adults. And each variable would have a score. For example, if you're a child, the loss of a parent would be 100. That'd be a max score. For adults, actually what they find is divorce is worse than the death of a spouse. Seriously. I think it's like 100 for the divorce. It's like 95 for the death. They're both tragic, but isn't that interesting? Probably because the causality comes into play. Now, here's what we know: your emotional health is connected to your physical health. Now, what are the emotional factors that buffer people against these effects? Being socially connected. Primary emotional relationships. And I mentioned this a few weeks ago in another venue, another vein of thought. But I said, if you want to know if you're socially connected, if you want to know if you have good primary relationships, that implies a support system for emotional health and well-being ultimately affecting your physical health, then you have to absolutely look at who you could call at 3 a.m. if your car is broken down in the middle of nowhere and you're 40 miles from anywhere, who would come and get you? Thinking about that myself. My family, every member of my family, yes. And I would say probably two and a third person who lives remote from me. They were in the same area, no question. I know a ton of people. You know a ton of people. I got over 2,000 people in my address book in my phone, not bragging, but I'm saying of all those people I know, I'll tell you what a psychology professor told me in grad school. We were talking about primary relationships and this very topic. And he said, you know, Dave, he said, when you really look at the people that care about you, it's the people that sit around your table in your family, if you're lucky, and one or two other people. And that's really true. And what's the primary relationship of which we get the most pleasure and then sometimes the most pain? That would be your primary significant other relationship. And with marriage at an all-time low, should we be surprised that we're seeing what we call psychosomatic illness, the mind making the body sick, at an all-time high? A lot of times people are better off going to a therapist than a doctor. Go to a doctor, get the symptoms treated. go to a therapist, you might get to some of the root causes and solutions about what you can employ. Now, having said all that, and I've kind of educated you on mind-body relationship, let me get down to what it means today from a geopolitical standpoint. The cities that have the 40 percentile, I live alone. And, you know, living alone for a while is okay. It can actually, for me, I had a primary relationship end one time, and I was in my 20s, and I used that time to really work on me, academically, educationally, professionally, personal growth, physical endurance, physical stamina, physical health. And I really used that time productively. Now, I know it was what we call overcompensation, which is a defense mechanism, but it was a healthy overcompensation. But it also got me ready for a relationship in which I'd enter into marriage and would last decades, which is what I'm currently in, well over three decades. And what I have to tell you is that your emotional health going in is really important, and being alone for periods of time is okay, but it's not meant to be chronic. It's meant to be temporary. And even in those in-between times when you don't have a primary relationship, okay, you can still have great relationships with friends, both of the same gender and of the opposite sex. I've had friends come in different shapes, sizes, forms, colors, ages. One of my best friends for years was 20 years older than me. He used to be my boss. And we were pretty good friends up until the time he passed. So we look at all of this, and we have a real clear picture that's forming. In the cities that are at the 40th percentile, here's the punchline. They are generally considered to be blue cities. Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Denver, Chicago, St. Louis, New York. Do you get the idea? Do you see a picture emerging here? So I'm going to back up now. Now, we've got these correlated facts. Loneliness, living alone, we know is highly correlated to psychosomatic illness. What I'd like to see, and I'm not in a position to do this, I don't think the government would ever give me a grant. I would know how to set this up. I mean, I used to teach research at SAT. But no one's ever going to fund that for me in my situation now. I'm inactive. But I would like to see a university study this, but I will guarantee you this, you'll never find it at a lot of state-run universities. It'd have to be private-based because they're not going to condemn their own blue culture. And what I really think we're looking at right here is this, is that we are now devaluing the family. We're devaluing childbearing, family values. We've devalued the institution of marriage across the board. And people are now buying into this. Women are given a myriad of reasons not to have kids. Oh, delay your kids. You'll have time for that. You need to do your career. I think you can do both. My wife did both. Eventually, she did leave so she could devote more time to being a mom. But we managed during our early childbearing years and did really quite well. So I don't think it's an either-or choice. I think it's a matter of balance. But we are devaluing all of these things. Now, what's another thing that brings families together? The church, the center of a lot of recreation, not just worship, recreation, making friends, activities, feeling connected. If you're lonely today, to me, the church is the best place to start. It truly is, because you'll have a good chance of encountering people that are in the same status of life that you are. And even if you don't have an intimate relationship that evolves out of that, you can have people, birds of a feather, flock together, and they can bring each other comfort and understanding because they have empathy for the situation that other people like them are in. I think this is absolutely critical that people begin to get into these group organizations. And I always say, too, you want to meet interesting people and have fun, develop friendships, and maybe a significant other relationship, go do activities in groups that you like. That way you already have the common bond. You already have common interests. And what I'm telling you is the blue cities kill all of this. There's such a de-emphasis on just normal humanity. Everything is cancel culture. I'm afraid to speak out. What did I read the other day? 65% of state-run university students are afraid to express their opinion because of the fear of cancel culture. Well, see, I think that carries over into the blue city mentality. I'm not free to express who I am. All the values I've been told I should have had as a child, I'm being told by society now, if you believe that, you're somehow deficient. We have emphasized the wrong things. And I would also say this, too. There are some rural schools and some private schools that do a wonderful job. But for the most part, the government schools have killed patriotism, and they have killed the love of family and family values. Ladies and gentlemen, I saw a guy today on a Twitter feed that was sent to me. He broke into his elementary school child's classroom where they were doing, shall we say, things that embarrassed me to watch. And he's arguing with him. Excuse me. You grab Johnny or Joni and you leave and you don't come back. Well, I work. I got to have the school for babysitting. No. There's all kinds of child programs, homeschooling programs that cater to working adults. It can be worked out. And I think that loss of family values, loss of patriotism, devotion to culture, our way of life, it all fits together. Church attendance is way down, but no wonder. The pastors, the claim it and grab it, you know, kind of sermons you get, bull crap on that. Seriously, being a Christian or being a person of any faith is hard work. It takes discipline to go against your sinful nature. And discipline is something that we don't teach in our culture. Everybody wins a trophy. You don't have to go the extra mile. You'll be rewarded at the end of the day anyway. Everyone gets a ribbon. That's the sissy society we've raised our kids in. We could not win a war if we had to against China and Russia. Oh, and there are people that are fierce. Oh, I'm not knocking you manly men who serve and you go into battle as called and you perform bravely and admirably. My broadcast partner, Doug Thornton, is one of those people. What did he say? He benched over 400 pounds training for a strongman contest now? It's an animal. Animal. But he would agree with what I'm saying. We're raising a bunch of sissies. In fact, we had this discussion the other night. We're talking about football rules that we played by growing up versus the sissy game of football that's out there today. And I'll just give you a small example. You guys who are athletes will know what I'm talking about. I used to play strong safety on defense. Yeah, I played both ways and special teams. I hardly ever got a playoff. Surprised I didn't get hurt. But anyway, in strong safety, sometimes we would invert to the tight end side if he was talented on a play action passing down. And if he would release and cross my face to go on a pattern, usually off a play action, I'd step up and deliver what we used to call a slobber knocker. He could be 230 pounds. I was 160, but I'd knock him right on his ass and he never knew what hit him because he didn't see me coming. Today, you'd be kicked out of a game for that. You do it two games, you're done for the season. And that day, that's the game we played. There was no late hits on the quarterback. It's sissy sport. When I was growing up, we played basketball, hand-checking. You had a strong guy, big biceps, strong chest. He's hand-checking you. Well, you better learn how to create space because he's going to keep you from going where you want to go. Today, foul. Sissy game. Sissy. That's how we're raising our kids. We've lost discipline, hard work, love, connectivity. We've lost the church, family values, normal dating. Kids don't even go on dates anymore. They go out in these packs. They look like wolf packs. And they're sitting around a restaurant table all on their phones where they could be talking to someone 3 feet away and they're texting someone 3 miles away. This is crazy. And we wonder why we have a loneliness epidemic in this country. What you need to do is learn how to connect with people. Put your cell phone away for a while. Ask people how their day went. Take an interest in them, and they will take an interest in you. Loneliness is deadly. Loneliness is emotionally painful. loneliness takes a lot of the joy out of life. And if you want to be lonely, move to a blue city. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up. Like us. Make sure that you join us over on thecommonsenseshow.tv. Here we do the news. There we do in-depth documentaries, many times employing guests that have experience, some of them with regime change activities, because that's what we've just gone through and what we're going to continue to go through until we change it. Because what we have right now is Bolshevik communism being rammed down your throat and no respect for the Constitution, the rule of law, and equal justice for all, well, we get into how to avoid all these pitfalls. We want to help you stay one step ahead of the burning bridge. And right now, that's about all you can expect. And we're really good at it. Our show's popular. We get 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. You go, must be expensive. No, no, no. We charge bandwidth. I ask for people to help with the bandwidth so we don't go broke doing the show. But we're not looking to make profit. Some people charge $20, $50 a month. We charge as a joke. Like I said, it keeps us afloat. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. We'll see you over there.
Did you, dear listener, catch what Dave Hodges said there about women, loneliness, and breast cancer and the connection between those three? Do you think that's a coincidence? I sure do not. But before I elaborate on that, I'm going to ask also Brother Kenny to comment here shortly, but I want to first of all read here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8 down through. Paul writing under inspiration to Timothy. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, so that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might shew forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them, which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You look over to chapter 2 there, 1 Timothy, and read, starting in 1 down through. Well, go read the first. Just read the whole chapter here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. One God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, not some sinner dressed in a religious robe, you call Father Roman Catholic, not Mary, not some other so-called saint. He tore between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And like men are also, that the women adorn themselves across the array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to use her authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she should be safe in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Let me repeat this one more time. 1 Timothy 2:15, notwithstanding, she should be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now, the reason why I say that that whole matter there about women, loneliness, and breast cancer, as Dave Hodges was talking about it there, I do not believe that is a coincidence. It's because God just talked about a woman being saved in childbearing. Now, I'm not saying this is all that that implies, okay, but I do believe that part of that saving there has to do with the very fact, surely as there is a connection between women's loneliness and breast cancer, stop to think, uses, first and foremost, in feeding her child. Breastfeeding. And could this be yet just one more reason why? Not that there are not others, but one more reason why. In chapter 5 of 1 verses 11 through 15. But the younger widows refuse. And when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation, because they have cast off their first faith. And without they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, the adversary speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. Now, Kenny, feel free to comment on what I just said, and if anybody else listening wants to comment. I was also going to ask you, Kenny, you yourself heard what he said about divorce in relation to all this and there being a connection to one's emotional and physical well-being in this context, as it relates to the loneliness epidemic destroying America, as he called it. Having gone through divorce yourself, Kenny, would you like to comment at all?
Well, first off, let's start with that piece right there that you're talking about. First off, with the divorce issue, it is very traumatic, as you just pointed out. I've been through that, okay? And it's a lot worse than, as I've also experienced, death in my family, okay? So he is right. He made that point very strongly. And, yes, experiencing both, yes, divorce being the worst. Now, Tim, here's what's interesting. Dave Hodges, and you bring up a point that you don't even realize I had already brought up in my book on marriage and sex, even though I did not actually bring a correlation and say, well, this is the reason women have breast cancer, but the actual correlation is made kind of around the bush. I kind of beat around the bush about it, but the meaning is there. I explain it more in the terms of the hormones of the body. Now, let me kind of explain that, but first give a plug for my book here. Anybody wishing to get a copy of this and being able to read it for themselves, like several times over, to get this information really deep into their heads, because they're going to need to do this, I suggest they go to Amazon.com, and in the search box, type God's, that's apostrophe S, G-O-D, apostrophe S, Elijah, like the prophet, to the church. Once you've typed that in, that's my author name, the book will pop up there, God's True Plan for Marriage and Sex. Get that book. It's only going to cost you $20, so get that book. Now, in one of the early chapters, I do believe it's chapter 1, I talk about the different hormones, the chapter on science. What I talk about is the hormones that are involved in specifically in breastfeeding. And here's where a lot of women that grab that baby bottle mess up. Now, there's a lot of women who do breastfeed, but a lot of them, even though they're capable of breastfeeding, they don't. Now, here's the point that's made, okay? Most people, let's think of it this way first. When you go to your local department store like Walmart or like your drug stores like Rite Aid or Walgreens or what have you, what of the departments are larger? Breastfeeding aisle or the baby formula aisle? Well, that's pretty obvious. The baby formula aisle is a lot bigger. There's very little in the breastfeeding thing because very few women are doing it, but they don't realize out there, these women don't realize the benefits of breastfeeding because there's a hormone called oxytocin. What happens is doctors who know that a woman has just given birth, the first thing they give a woman who has just given birth is a shot of oxytocin. Now, why do they give the woman a shot of oxytocin? It helps in stopping the bleeding that occurs after childbirth. Well, why do they have to give the woman a shot of oxytocin? Well, it's because the woman doesn't start breastfeeding right away. Unlike in the old days, before women got into this baby food junk, when more women were breastfeeders, as soon as the baby was born, the baby would be put immediately to the breast. And when that happened, the hormone oxytocin would kick in as the baby nursed. The hormone oxytocin would be kicked in and start to flow through the woman's body and thus would trigger the response of the bleeding to be stopped. Now, that's one of its benefits. A second benefit of breastfeeding and oxytocin is its ability to stave off and fight breast cancer. Those women who breastfeed their babies, it has been noted they are 50 to 75% less likely to get breast or ovarian cancers. But you don't hear anybody, especially doctors, you don't hear them publishing this stuff. You don't hear them publishing that and saying, hey, we need to get these women back to breastfeeding, getting them back to doing it the old-fashioned way, get them to do this because of the oxytocin. They don't say that. They're more concerned about, hey, let's get woman into the workplace. Let's get woman to be separated from the family. Let's get woman separated from the household. And in order to do that, she... she can't take time to breastfeed. Because if she's at work, she can't breastfeed. So let's give her the option of the baby bottle. And that's what causes all these breast cancers, uterine cancers, ovarian cancers to spike. So with that, if anybody else wishes to comment, Ruth, who do we got on the line with us? Okay, Ruth's coming here. Give her a sec. But, Tim, did you know
about... We just have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost Band of Angels, you and Tim and me.
Okay, what do you think, Ruth?
I like everything you've been saying and what Tim's been saying. It's all the good stuff. I agree with you all.
All right, Tim. Well, then we'll let you take over from here.
You can play the next clip, Kenny.
All right, here we go.
I've done a lot of reporting on CBDC recently. And, in fact, Clay Clark, who came on my TV show yesterday, noted that and paid me a nice compliment and said a lot of his people are sharing my work. But I hope they all will share this. And it does not come from the wisdom of Dave Hodges. It comes from the divine guidance of the Bible. And I make no mistake about it. I'm a Christian, imperfect, of course, but I'm trying my best to send the right message out from this platform. We deal a lot in the social, political, cultural, but we also don't skip over the spiritual. And in this particular piece, I want to talk about a warning that you need to know about, because make no mistake about it, CBDC is the mark of the beast. It may not fully appear that way in the beginning because everything is deception. All warfare is deception, as Sun Tzu said. But at some point in time, we're all going to see it. We're all going to be forced to take it, or else. And I do mean or else. We are brought to you by a great product, one of our favorites. People love this product. Why? Because it restores lost collagen through a proprietary process you can read about at healthwithdave.com. And then you'll find out, too, the product's guaranteed, 60-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, 51% off. You go, whoa, that's really good. It is really good, and it works, because you'll start to see the difference in how you feel, how you look. You'll look younger. You'll feel younger. You'll have more energy. It's really cool. It looks like this. Let me show you the package here. Ageless multi-collagen, and all you got to do to get yours with the guarantee is to go to healthwithdave.com. And when you're there, you'll see that they publish the research, and they tell you, hey, this is how it works. Unlike our federal government that doesn't disclose anything, these people believe in having everything out front and open. You'll love dealing with these people. You'll love the product even more because it works. So for the younger you, go to healthwithdave.com. I want you to hear this warning very clearly, very short, sweet, to the point. You participate in central bank digital currency. This is why I work so hard to tell you food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. I'm trying to give you tools to get outside the system. Here is something that we need to know. You take the mark. You know what the consequence is? If you take the mark, do you know what the consequence is? Keep that in mind. Okay, here we go. We are about ready to go through some very difficult times. I hope the tribulation is not upon us, but I fear that it is. I fear that we're on the cusp, if not already in it. I fear that I won't be able to help people repent, regain God's blessing, and he pushes this off to another generation. I'd prefer that. I don't think we're going to have that option. Revelation 2:10 says, "Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison." In the euphemism, we'll call FEMA camps. You will be tested, and for 10 days, you'll have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and the Lord promises he will give you the crown of life. God will reward those who remain faithful to Jesus. We need not worry about the temporary condition of the world or the leaders who deny Christ and his kingdom. God will sustain his followers through persecution in the future, just as he has done in the past. Matthew is very clear about this, too, the book of Matthew. He will not depart from you if you're one of his flock. From James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he'll receive the crown of life, which God has promised those who love him. By the way, do you know what the mark of the beast is? It comes from a term related to the apocalypse, which means to lift the veil. And the beast, here, let me turn to another page here, so I'll just read it verbatim. In Roman culture, a mark was made on the seal of wax or was branded with a branding iron for the purposes of identification. That will be the mark of the beast. It's either in your forehead or your right hand. I'm sure there'll be a scanning element to it. You want to pay? Oh, I'm sorry. You said some bad things about the government last week. You can't buy the meat. You can't travel. That's what's coming. We're in bad times. Even if we have a repentance and we can push this back, I do not believe for a second that the times ahead are going to be easy. We're not just being ruled by Bolshevik communists. We're being ruled by Satanists. Make no mistake about it. Their proclivities speak for themselves. It needs no elaboration. We know who they serve. What did they change that statue in New York City, remember, from Jesus to Baal? Yeah, things to consider. This is the end game. I've told you that you're not going to be able to travel if you don't comply. If you say bad things, you're not going to be able to do a lot of different things, including own property. You won't own property anyway, that live in your place. I hope you heed this warning. I believe it's very possible time could be short. And when CBDC gets here, all hell is going to break loose. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Thumbs up, like us. Make sure that you're a member of what we do really well, thecommonsenseshow.tv, in-depth documentaries, all designed to help you deal with very difficult things that have crossed our path, unprecedented things in this country. And we help you. We'll help try to preserve your fortune with your nest egg. We'll try to help you retain your rights. And most of all, we'll try to protect your soul and your life. We'll see you back here next time. Sign up today for thecommonsenseshow.tv. Thanks for joining us.
Now, I just want to clarify, dear listener, and I'm pretty sure Dave Hodges pretty much said the same thing. I do not believe that CBDC in its initial stages will actually be the mark of the beast, but it's definitely going to be the forerunner and the preparation whereby people are conditioned to the eventual receiving of that mark of the beast in the right hand or in the forehead. Revelation 13, verses 1 through 3 declares, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his..." It is a fact that the United Nations even has the world divided up into ten unions, howbeit ten horns, I would say, that are spoken of even right here. Revelation 13, verse 2, again, "And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast." Verse 4, "And they worshipped the dragon," speaking of Satan, "which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with them?" It's written, and they worshipped the dragon. Like Dave said, these globalists, these New World Order elitists, they're all Luciferians, and they're all Satanists, as they serve the Antichrist, the papacy of Rome, and her Jesuits. You jump down to verse 11. Revelation 13, down to the end of the chapter. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and calleth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and calls that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he calls with all both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. I know Brother John McTernan has been talking a lot, too, about this, what's called this QR code, and how this QR code is likely going to play a part in all of this before all is said and done. But anyhow, Kenny, if you please play the next clip, please.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're going to ask you to do a couple things when you come here. Number one, please realize that when you come to YouTube in any form or fashion, if you come from your mobile device, you must click the Show More button to see everything. And we're going to ask everyone that comes here, hey, please like us and make sure that you subscribe. And most of all, most importantly, share the videos with people that desperately need to see them, because we need to wake up the sleeping masses to overthrow the Bolshevik communists who've overrun our country. We're brought to you by one of our favorite products here. People just love this product, Ageless Multi-Collagen, and it's from BioTrust, as you can see. So they print the research for why their product works, and you'll find out about the five types of collagen, how it's patented just by BioTrust. No one else can use it, and they replace lost collagen, which restores youth. Your muscles don't hurt as bad. Neither do your joints. You look younger and you have more energy. All the science is laid out right at healthwithdave.com. That's healthwithdave.com. And I'd recommend that you go there as soon as possible while supplies last. And waiting for you when you get there is a 51% discount with free shipping. Don't forget about the 60-day money-back guarantee. They guarantee the product will work. Oh, boy. Agenda 47. Watch out for Agenda 47. You say, no, Dave, don't you mean Agenda 21 or the updated version, Agenda 30? No, I mean Agenda 47. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of clues here. No matter how much the left goes after Donald Trump, right now Arizona is opening up an election interference probe on Trump. It's just part of the Democratic BS, throwing up poop on the wall and you hope something sticks. And it's being led by the criminal attorney general of Arizona, Chris Mays. Oh, yeah, Chris, you're getting sued. I don't know if you know that yet or not. And we also know about your intent to go after Liz Harris in the same fashion. And we've put out the early alert on that, too. She is going to go down as one of the worst attorney generals, not just in Arizona history, but American history. But she's leading the charge against Donald Trump. It's not going to go anywhere. All it is election smearing. But I'm talking about Donald Trump, Agenda 47. And Agenda 47 is this. The 47th president could be Donald Trump, and he will stand up to China. He'll back them down. He'll make a phone call to Putin, and there'll be peace in Ukraine. He'll recall the 100,000 troops of America that are in Europe, the 3,000 that just went to the eastern flank of the war. Very, very serious stuff. And Donald Trump will restore the economy. He will put sanctions on China until China complies with fair trade practices like he did before. He'll spur manufacturing at home. There'll be an energy revival. That's Agenda 47. Sound pretty good to you? Or do you like wallowing in poverty? Do you like the criminal conspiracy, the cocaine in the Situation Room in the White House, and the subsequent Secret Service cover-up? If you like that kind of government, just keep doing nothing. Otherwise, get to work. Let's get Donald Trump elected. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Please share this far and wide. Give us a big thumbs up, like us, and make sure you become a member of what we do really well. Here we do the news. There we do, on the TV show, we do really good documentaries, in-depth, on critical issues you need to know about. And we really gear our show towards directing you on how to deal with these unprecedented times. We've never dealt with anything like this. So I would highly recommend you jump on board. It's worth the price. Oh, what's the price? The price is bandwidth. We just ask for help with bandwidth. We're not looking to make money. We just want help with bandwidth. That's it. Commercial-free, censorship-free, thecommonsenseshow.tv. We'll see you over there.
And on that note, Kenny, do we or do we not have any more clips before the midway?
No, that's all the clips before the midway.
If you would play the midway song, please.
All right, you got it.
It is written in the Hebrew Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible, in the one prophet. I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's also written in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. Now, as we would continue on here, dear listener, if you're not already there, turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm now going to start in verse 1, and read down through verse 8 of Proverbs chapter 3. Then I'm also going to jump down, and we're going to read verse 24 through 26. Proverbs chapter 3, starting verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And let me just remind you, dear listener, that phenomenon of acrostics, where again the letter of a word defines the word mercy. Mercy, making everlasting righteousness cover you. Are you covered in the everlasting righteousness of God, dear listener? Because as a sinner, apart from your Creator, apart from him and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no righteousness of your own. And then truth, that word truth, the revelation unto true hope. Again, true hope is knowing where you are going to go when you die, knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you are reconciled with your Creator, and that when you stand before him, you will not be condemned. as those of whom it is written, Revelation 21, verse 8, the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, thanks be to God. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we should be saved from wrath through him. Even so, the just shall live by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, which any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And indeed, as Jesus himself said, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah, in John 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And it's also written, John 6, 44, Jesus himself said, no man can come to me except the Father has sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 14, 6, Jesus speaking of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Continuing on here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God of man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Now you jump down here in Proverbs chapter 3, to verse 24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Now, if you look here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy relationship and marriage. Who can you trust? And I would even call this part one, because Lord willing, will continue with this next week even more. But yes, marriage and relationships, who can you trust? Because ultimately, the problem with many today, especially the women, they just simply do not know, and they do not realize who they can and cannot trust. And you even have out there today, in a lot of ways, what I would define as the female-feminine false balance. What do I mean by the female-feminine false balance? Well, already in the past, here on the Word of the King. And if you want to turn over there briefly now, we're not going to read through the whole chapter, but we will take another quick look here. Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and went the way to her house. And again, it's talking here about the harlot, the whore, the woman, hell-bent on rehearsing evil. Verse 9, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and won't come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield with the flattering of her lips. She forced him. He goeth out of the ox, goeth to the slaughter, or as the fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. So you have this female-feminine false balance where on one end you got this harlot, this strange woman that we read about here in Proverbs 7. And she is anything but afraid of sexual relations. If anything, she covets sexual relations and whatever money and whatever benefit she can get from it, so to speak. And then on the other hand, again, false balance is an abomination to the Lord. And so it is with the feminine female false balance, as I call it. It's an abomination to the Lord. On one end, again, you got this whore, you got this harlot. She anything but fears sexual relations. If anything, she covets it and any money and any benefit that she can get from it, however sinful and however lustful and however wicked her desire, her benefit may be. But then on the other hand, you got what are oftentimes even some of the most otherwise safe, God-fearing women. And they all but are terrified of sexual relations in general. And that fear of sexual relations in general has basically put on them a fear of marriage in general. Now, there was this one brother in the Lord that I was with not long ago in Germany, just a couple months ago, with him and his wife, his brother Matthias, German for Matthew. And he was telling me about this one brother that we know in Switzerland and how Nico was once talking about how the devil has, howbeit he and his devils, have been for some time now coining Roman Catholics out of, again, otherwise Bible-believing, God-fearing individuals who sincerely love the Lord, coining Roman Catholics out of them. What does he mean by that? Well, I even sent him something not long ago, and I even said to him, Nico, I think this is what you're talking about when you talk about the devil coining Roman Catholics out of otherwise sincere, God-fearing Bible believers. And the example that I used in the context is the single female missionary. And Kenny, I'm going to ask you to comment on this in a moment. I'm going to pose a question and ask you to comment some more on what I'm saying and plus this question I'm going to pose. Consider the single female missionary. It's something that's become very common, quite frankly, recently, in recent history. Something you didn't hear about for the longest time. Because, again, if anything, women knew what God's will for them was. And we looked at it there in the context of 1 Timothy chapters 2 and chapter 5. I will, therefore, that you marry and bear children. And it was his will for the women to be safe in childbearing. But again, in previous times, it's become very common, this thing of single female missionary, and ultimately, otherwise safe, God-fearing women. Up in their 30s, sometimes 40s, going on 50. And never been married, never born a child, never given birth to a single soul. And again, that connection there that Dave Hodges mentioned during everything he was going on with earlier that he had already studied and already found out through his own studies. The link between women, loneliness, and breast cancer is not a coincidence. Basically, when you think about these women in their 30s, 40s, sometimes going on 50, and never been married, never had kids, basically what you could call it is you could call it Satan and the spirit of Papal Rome producing what they would call Protestant, Baptist, Bible-believing nuns. Kenny, I'll let you comment.
Well, Tim, you're right on the point there, and the worst part of it all is with these single woman missionaries, they forget that first off, as 1 Timothy chapter 2 very clearly lays out, that a woman is not to be out there on her own. Because she's your supreme authority over a man. So I got news for them that right there. They're against God's word as it is. I mean, they should have a husband with them. But no, because they choose that, oh, well, I'm not going to be married. But they try to cover it up by, oh, well, I'm trying to do God's will. I'm trying to get people saved. They go out doing this mission work stuff on their own when they should have a husband. And to those that they're out there witnessing to, it makes them look bad because I can guarantee you don't find these women being missionaries that are true Bible believers. They're certainly not true Bible believers because a true Bible-believing church is not going to allow a woman to go out there as a missionary. I can guarantee you I know what organization will let them go out. Let's say it this way. Tammy Faye Baker's group wouldn't have no problem with that. And groups similar to Tammy Faye Baker would not have no problem with that. You could guarantee the missionary Baptist groups would have no problem with that.
Jezebel Joyce Meyer, I bet, wouldn't have a problem with it.
No, she wouldn't have a problem with that. Why? Because she's just as bad as them, and guaranteed the Catholic cult. Guaranteed has no problem with that. Because, we send them out as nuns and be missionaries. Because I've heard of tons of those being in the Catholic Church. I don't remember their names, but I knew a few sisters that went out from the church that was near the blind school, started off going out on a mission work that were nuns. I know it happens in the Catholic Church. So, yeah, they teach that junk, but true Bible believers that stand strictly on the Word of God, they know what 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, where it says, you're not to usurp authority over a man, but to remain in silence and learn at home. So they know, and they will not. They will absolutely 100% will not allow a woman to be a missionary on her own. Just won't happen. And so that's my comments, Tim.
And of course, Kenny, I'll let you comment once again on this. Works both ways. Surely as these women, whether they serve as single missionaries or not, surely as these women go into their 30s, 40s, going on 50s sometimes, and they don't ever get yoked up with a man and express maybe even no interest, because again, they're so terrified of sexual relations in general because of all the perversion that's out there. And like I've told others, and if I didn't mention it before, I want to make it a point to mention it now here in the Word of the King. When perversion is all people get exposed to, sooner or later they're going to act like perversion is all that exists. And that's basically another thing you got going on here. Okay, again, especially with these women, all they ever get done hearing about when it comes to sexuality is perversion. And so in their minds, they act like that's all that even exists. And again, it's more reason why if I try to tell any one of them, I'm a 43-year-old male virgin. God knows how many of them have a hard time believing it, but God is my witness. I'm not lying when I say that much. But yeah, it works both ways. These women, they get up in their 30s, 40s, sometimes going on 50, with no desire hooked up. Where does that leave the man? Where does that leave the man? Next thing you know, Satan and the spirit of Rome are then using that to produce what they would call Protestant Baptist, Bible-believing monks. You can comment, Kenny.
Well, that's putting it as plain as you can, Tim. I really can't make much more comment than you've already said, because that's saying it in a nutshell and saying it as plain as you can. The perversion, period, is what the deal is. And then with that and the women out there, not to mention some men, they hear of it. They hear about all this junk that's supposedly happening in what people deem to be churches, the Catholic cult with the homosexuality and the lesbianism happening amongst what? Priests. Okay? So they hear this stuff, and they say, well, if that happens there, and then they've heard of it, this perversion in other groups that's supposedly supposed to be holy, okay? Like the charismatic cult, okay? They hear about this stuff. They hear about it in the Jehovah's Witness. They hear about it in the Mormon Church. They hear about it in all these so-called mainline denominations that are supposed supposed to be so close to God. And they say, well, if this is going on, I've even heard lost people, okay, forget just mainline people in the church, women in the church, men in the church, that say, you know, hey, it's better to be single. I've heard this of women on the streets. What's the use, they say, if women and men can't conduct themselves properly in a church? Why even try? If you can't trust somebody in the church to be faithful, how can you trust somebody who doesn't go to church? That's what they say. This is off the streets. These are people that don't even claim Christ. These are people that don't even claim anything to do with God. And they're saying, and I quote again, if you can't trust people who go to church to be faithful, how can you trust somebody on the street?
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to read something here real quickly here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing the devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good enough to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Would you not agree, Kenny, that there could not be a, outside of Revelation 17 and 18 itself, there could not be a better prophecy in Scripture of the Roman Catholic institution and her tradition than what we just got done reading in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that you can't get any better explanation than that. I mean, it talks about them forbidding to marry, forbidding to eat meats. Well, come on. Hello, dear Catholic friend. Name me one time during Lent that you're not forbidden to eat anything but fish. Just to let you know, since we're on radio, my eyebrows are raised. Okay? My eyebrows are raised, eyes wide open like saucers, okay? Just to let you know, that's how I'm questioning. It's like, doesn't that ring a bell? Lent? First Timothy describes Lent. If you can't bring that correlation from First Timothy 4 and Lent, then someone hogwashed you big time. Because, I mean, that's pretty obvious. It also describes also that chapter also goes to show you one of the harlots from the mother of harlots, the Seventh-day Adventists. They forbid certain eating of certain meats too. A lot of us don't think about that one, but that's the truth. They do it too. Why? Because, hey, the mother of harlots has little harlots that came from her. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists, Nazarene, Cruismatics. Yep, they're all the children of Mama. And Bible tells us, Tim, you already know this, they're all going to jump back in bed with Mama in the Great Tribulation time. All right. Well, enough for my preaching there, because I could go on for that one for a while, but I think I'll let you take back over with your show.
Yeah. It's not going to be too long before I get you back in here again, Kenny, to comment. First of all, let me read this here, and let me post something. Now, I even heard, dear listener, I even heard my one pastor back at Staten Island and one of our deacons some time ago talking about how they were questioning the common teaching about the 144,000 in the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation talks about how there's 12,000 taken from each tribe of Israel. Now, I don't know. I recall them wondering, like, how could they possibly have all the records to actually know for certain who was from what tribe and so on and so forth, and then to have exactly 12,000 from each tribe, you know. But now, even more so than that, there's another reason why I would say you got good reason to question the modern understanding and the modern teaching about the 144,000 in the Book of Revelation. And this is what I'm talking about right here. Let me first of all read this here, then I'll get to it. Here in Revelation chapter 14, and make sure you're listening carefully, Kenny, because I'm going to be asking you to comment here in a moment and give your take here. And I looked, and lo, the Mount Zion, and with 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God to the Lamb. Verse 5, I'll also read here. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Now, 1,000, which you also read of in Revelation chapter 7, and how they're sealed there in the context, basically says that they are physical male virgins who are Jews. And when it says they were not defiled with women, that those women are speaking of physical women, and that they were not defiled sexually with those women. Now, I will tell you that the historical, what's known as the historical interpretation, is actually the biblical interpretation. And what is being taught nowadays is not the historical nor the biblical understanding of this speaking about here in relation to these virgins and these women. And what if I actually told you that the common way that it is taught today, the idea that it's talking about having not gotten defiled sexually with physical women, if I told you that there was a devil of Roman Catholic celibacy at work in that interpretation, what would you say to that, Kenny? I'll let you comment.
Well, there's more than one way to be defiled by a woman, okay? See, it did not say they were virgin. It said they were not defiled by a woman. That, I mean, if a man does not commit adultery, he's not defiled by a woman. Okay?
Well,
so,
correction, Kenny. Let me correct. Kenny, stop. I must correct you. It says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. So, yes, it did say these 144,000 are virgins. But still, the idea that that's talking about physical male Jews not getting defiled sexually with physical women is not biblical. But it does say that they're virgins. But keep going.
Okay. But like I said, there are other ways of being defiled by a woman, okay? I mean, you could be raped.
But Kenny, stop. We're not talking about other women. We're not talking about other people right now. We're talking about these 144,000. We're talking about these 144,000.
Right.
We're not talking about others right now.
I know that, but I'm just using an example, okay? Okay? There is such a thing as a woman raping a man, or a man raping a man, okay? So that's a way of being defiled, okay? But now, I'd love to hear what they're saying about this possible other interpretation of how that would read, because to me, I mean, it's pretty plain. If they're virgins and they're not defiled by women, that's pretty obvious that virgin and not defiled, well, by a woman, that sounds pretty obvious, you know. But, I mean, unless somebody's got some other explanation for that, I'd like to know. But it also does say, now, as far as these Jews being sealed It says that they were sealed in their forehead, and it was God who did that, so he'd obviously know from which tribe they were. God was the one who sent the angel to seal them when you read the text. So God was the one who sealed them. So it isn't like man has to take a tally and say, okay, this person was from Benjamin, this one was from Levi, this one's from Judah, and so on. It said God did it. So he'd obviously know who the pure Jews were that were not defiled by women that were virgins. He'd know it.
And
so I'll let you go on.
And he also says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them by name.
Right.
No. Did you ever stop to think, dear listener? Don't forget, the Word of God talks about how the church is likened unto a chaste virgin in Paul's one epistle. Did you ever stop to consider the fact that it's talking about them being virgins spiritually in the virgin of Israel and the virgin who is Christ Jesus, and that they were not defiled with women spiritually, namely the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth and her harlot daughters? Hence God says, come out of her, my people, and be not partaker of her plagues. Comment on that, Kenny.
Well, there you go. Like I said, as I said, the way I said it, there are many ways of being defiled by women, and that's another way, spiritually, okay? So that's a very good way of looking at that verse, okay? So, I mean, definitely, that could be not talking about physical, could be talking about spiritual. So, I mean, because as you already notice, it does talk about these Jews. Now, they could be spiritual Jews, but it does talk about them being physical. You know, it could be spiritual Jews. So we don't, it doesn't say one way or the other. Technically, this could be a spiritual thing or it could be a physical thing. So we have to look at it from both sides of the coin. Because the Bible talks about we are spiritual Israel, too.
And keep in mind, the Word of God says in the book of Hebrews, the marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. The whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So if these virgin Jews hypothetically get married, according to God's word in the book of Hebrews, that wouldn't mean that they were defiled all because they got married, nor would it mean that those women were defiled all because they gave up their virginity in getting married. Because, again, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled. And sure, the bed is undefiled. The two people in the bed in that context is undefiled. But, again, adulterers and whoremongers, God will judge. And that's another reason why I say the idea that's talking there about physical Jews being male virgins and not being defiled with female virgins sexually is not only a devil of Roman Catholic celibacy at work in that interpretation, but it's also a subtle reproach to the very institution of marriage as God ordained it. Kenny, would you like to comment?
Well, like I said, I just explained when I heard you saying about that, about it being spiritual, yeah. And it also, you know, a very good point. And like I said, it also, because the Bible does talk about us being, Jesus being the vine and we are the branches. So we are, quote, spiritual Jews. So the Jews there spoken of could be spiritual too. So this could be a spiritual thing altogether, spiritual male virgin Jews that are undefiled, meaning not messed up with Rome. So that's what it could be, all spiritual too. I mean, we do have to remember the book of Revelation was written with a lot of figurative language, so once again, like you said, this could be figurative talking about spiritual, from a spiritual aspect. So, and like you're pointing out from Hebrews about the bed being undefiled. So, yeah, it could be, yeah, the people were married, but spiritually they're undefiled. So, yeah, I mean, totally, I agree. And I'll leave it at that, and I'll let you go on.
And then on top of that, I'll just add this thought, too. On top of that, how many of these young ladies, particularly these young ladies who are saved, God-fearing of themselves, virgins, how many of them, when they hear that interpretation of Scripture, they think, okay, so if I get married as a virgin, do I then become defiled? Do I then become defiled? Because after all, here's these 144,000, and they never got defiled, all because they were virgins. That interpretation of Scripture, it suddenly plants the thought in the minds of people, especially these young ladies who are virgins, that if they even get married and forfeit their, or give up their virginity in the context of marriage, that they're somehow being defiled, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And it's a very, very subtle tactic by the enemy, to say the least. Clarify, too, for you listeners, in case you're wondering where Kenny is coming from about this whole matter of us being spiritual Jews, keep in mind we're in and one with the King of the Jews, who is the Jewish Messiah, Christ Jesus. Whether you're Jew or Gentile, you're one with him, and surely as you're saved, born again. And Romans chapter 2, verses 27 through 29 declares, "And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doest transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and in the letter, whose praise, and not in the letter, excuse me, and whose praise is not of men, but of God." Verse 29 again. "But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God." And Galatians 6:16 is where the Word of God refers to predominantly Gentile church there in Galatia, because again, we are in him who is King of the Jews, and who himself was one of Israel after the flesh, the Jewish Messiah, the Messiah of Israel, Christ Jesus. And therefore, we, being in him, Israel, Messiah, the Prince, or the Prince having power with his God. Keep in mind what that name Israel means. It's the Prince having power with his God. We are the Israel of God as the body of Christ. So, on that note, I would also just go ahead and ask Kenny now to play our next clip, please.
Donna, thank you so much for joining us here today. Really appreciate it. To me, it's a miracle. Anytime somebody comes to faith in Jesus, anybody, but especially a Jewish person like myself, like you, yeah, like a lot of people that we know, that come to faith in Jesus, Yeshua.
Yeah.
So tell me how it all got started.
Well, actually, I knew God from a little age because my mom used to read to us from the Bible, from the Revelation and the Proverbs.
Really? So from the New Testament?
Yes.
As a Jewish family, you're reading from the New Testament?
Yeah, since we grew up not here in Israel, so it was okay to read from that literature.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And so I was really curious about God, who he is, and I found wisdom in the Proverbs.
Mm.
And I was very curious because it says at one time that he's a woman, the wisdom is a woman.
Okay.
And then it's God's wisdom, so it was very, wow, it sounds like magnificent, wonderful. I want to know more about him, but my mom never used to walk with the Lord, so I never really got to walk with him, just to know that he is, his presence.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there is God.
Okay.
And so since we never really walked with God, then when we moved here to Israel, that was God's plan to get us here. I got into a lot of trouble in my life.
Mm.
I made some terrible choices.
Really?
Actually. Yeah. One of them was to get a divorce.
Mm.
Yeah, and so it was a tough time for me.
Yeah, what kind of feelings were you wrestling with during this period of time?
Well, I actually in denial. I didn't want to accept that I had sinned, that it was a great sin what I have done, and the family that I broke.
Mm.
And so that God is mad at me because I thought I was going after what I love. It's like, it's
it's for love that I'm doing that.
Mm.
Okay, so out of love, I was like making excuse for myself to say it was okay, and God is okay with me since He knows me. I know you, right? We're proud.
Right. So without any kind of like really moral foundation based on biblical principles,
that's right.
You can make up your own mind
that's
and justify
right.
any behavior that you want.
I made a God in my own image.
Yeah.
Like, He was okay with me because I'm okay with me.
Yeah.
Because I know who I am.
Right.
And so that was kind of bad. Now I know it's bad.
Yeah, so this is a low point in your life.
Yeah.
And how did you come out of it?
Well, actually, God answered my prayer. I was so desperate. I was so lonely. I was so lost.
Mm.
I felt like there's nobody in this world that can help me. That I even went to reading in the, you know, a klefim, called the klefim.
Ah, yes, getting the tarot cards,
the
getting the cards written. Yeah,
read. All the things that in Zephaniah God said, no.
Right.
Now I know.
Right.
But then it was like, please help me. I was
looking
desperate.
For anything.
Yeah, I was desperate for help because nobody could help me. So I thought, okay. People can help me. Flesh and blood can help me. So maybe something divine, something spiritually out of this world. And where can you find it? It's like in those people, in those cards, in those
right.
people that can tell
in
you
the sorcerers
your
and
fortune,
the magicians,
right?
Yeah,
magicians,
right?
And
sorcerers.
And so I was deep into that, and I was like, tell me my future. Tell me what is going to happen to me. Why am I here? Why all this happening to me? And so I was looking in the wrong places for God. Actually, I wanted him to talk to me. And so one of the ladies said it was like every time I went to those witchcrafts and sorcerers,
yes,
like in Saul part, you remember that in the Bible when
mm-hmm.
Saul went and she really raised up Samuel,
mm-hmm.
like the real Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And God used those points in my life like to speak the truth to me. Like this one lady told me for the last time I did this. The session
yes.
that came to the spiritual thing.
Yes.
She told me that your husband is not from this world.
Wow.
That's what she said. And I'm like, okay. And she said, you will get through it, and it will be forever. It's going to be forever. Now, okay, it's been like 3 years ago, and I'm not married now. And so my husband is not from this world. When Jesus came to Pilate, when they talked, he said, my kingdom is not from this world.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, it's you. It's you who I've been looking for. And so it was amazing revelation to me that my husband, my bridegroom is Yeshua, and my father is God.
Oy, I got
Almighty. Right?
Yeah.
And so that changed my life like that. He answered my prayer. I wanted to see the sign from him, and he answered my prayer. And at that night, Jeff, really, I can't even explain how it happened because it's still me. It's my body.
Right.
But I was a different person.
Mm-hmm.
I had different desires. I had different thoughts. It was in the resolution of thinking, you know,
yes.
the thoughts that I have.
Yeah. You are a changed person. Same thing happened to me. Overnight. I was one person one day, and the next day my wife says, who are you? And I hope you stay like this. Right, and so that's what happened. And what a blessing. And not just a blessing, it brings me to tears almost, because this is the power that Yeshua has in those that discover who he really is.
Amen.
And that's what we want to do here, is share the truth, not just with the Jewish people, but with the world, and let them know that Jesus was prophesied in the Hebrew scriptures, and he came right on time, according to the book of Daniel, Daniel 9. He came right on time to do what he came to do, and tomorrow is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
And I get the chills, you know, thinking about this, is that we have our atonement in the final sacrifice that he made for us just under 2,000 years ago. And so what are you doing now with your new found faith?
Well, it's on my heart to really share it with my brothers and sisters, Jewish brothers and sisters, who believe in the rabbinical Judaism. Like,
okay.
That
yes.
don't know the truth. Like, they worship the God that is, like, hidden from them.
Right.
they don't really know who he is, and so it's on my heart to really reveal the truth. And actually, God helps me now to understand.
Hey, let's go sit down for a
minute. Sure. What I realized is that when I came to faith, like, I was really into this Judaism thing.
Yeah.
And I was really scared that maybe I'm worshiping again false gods, because Yeshua is considered a god. So what's his part? And so God took me through this journey to explain to me, investigating through the scriptures, who Yeshua really is.
Right.
So this is, I think, every Jew has to do and to investigate, why is he considered God? Who is Messiah?
Mm-hmm.
What's his job? What's his purpose? And so that's the journey God really took me in my life to show me the real identity of Yeshua,
yeah,
the Messiah.
Yeah, well, you also serve the Lord in a very specific way. And tell us about that.
Yeah, so we serve together, actually.
We do.
And you have a great voice.
Thank you. So, yeah, our Messianic Christian community serves and worships here on Saturdays, and we sing in the worship team and serve the Lord. And down there is where we congregate, and we meet sometimes, and we sing and worship out there.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing your story. It just warmed my heart, touched my heart. And I just want to challenge anybody that's out there, if you're Jewish and you're watching this, open up the New Testament. Don't be afraid. Don't listen to what people have told you in the past. Just open up the book, and you'll find and discover the miracle that this book has in it, the life that this book brings, and the Jewishness of this book. You think you're going to find persecution in there. You think you're going to find anti-Semitism in there, but it's the actual opposite. So we just encourage you to check it out. So if you enjoyed this video, please hit the like button and leave your comments down below. If you have any questions for Donna, if you have any questions for me, we'd be happy to answer them. And make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so that you can be the first to know when new videos come out. Shall we do it?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do it.
John 3:16. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no avail, of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. And again, grace, God's riches, heavenly riches, God's riches at Christ's expense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 5, Galatians 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And God is love, we're told in 1 John. And again, John 6:29, Jesus said, this is the work of God, to believe on him whom he hath sent. And you jump down here in Galatians 5, verse 14, down through verse. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The word of God is very clear. Romans 3:23, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Revelation 20:14-15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There is no purgatory. It's heaven or hell when you die. Reincarnation is a lie of the devil. Have you been making a god in your own image? Dear listener, how be it in your own mind, in your own heart, which God says by nature is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Continuing on here. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. The word of God says in 1 John, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. God equates hatred for your neighbor, your brother, neighbor, and that's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. Perhaps you looked at somebody, you thought of somebody, said, I'll kill you, I'll kill him. Yeah, that's where it all starts, in your heart, which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God knows the depths of just how wicked the heart of all state. Wherefore, it's by one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered into the world of death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One more reason why Jesus said in John 3, verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh, talking about sinful human nature, lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. Verse 18 here in Galatians 5, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And you jump over to Galatians 6, verse 14, down through the end of the chapter, verse 18. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision but a new creature be on them in mercy and upon the Israel of God. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And as we wind down this edition of the Word of the King, we'll join next week. We will do part two of Relationships and Marriage, Who Can You Trust? And I'll just quote it and say it one more time here. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord willing, in next week's program, experiences of my own that I've had over the years with some individuals. And I'll relate even more on these lines of where I'm coming from. And also there, verse 26, Proverbs 3. For the Lord should be thy confidence, and should keep thy foot from being taken. There was a time, not anymore, but there was a time when I was terrified of getting married to the wrong woman. And let me tell you, that verse right there, and if I could just leave you with one word, dear listener, in the meantime, whether you're male or female, if you're concerned about getting married to the wrong person, just remember, as a saved, born-again child of God, especially, confidence shall keep your foot from being taken. Trust in him with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. Now, I would remind you, only because you maybe did not hear it earlier, in light of how much I may have been breaking up at the beginning of the program, Kenny, of course, went through how you can make contributions via the website, Holiness Bibles for the Blind, and also get a blessing out of the material there and the other things posted at our blog, as well as, don't forget, Kenny made the offer about his book earlier that he did on marriage and sexuality in marriage. Again, if you would like to contribute via to the work of God at Seed Ministries, you can just send that check or money order, write that out to my Father after the flesh, Joel Groover. That's Joel, like the prophet Joel, J-O-E-L, last name Groover, G-R-U, V as in Victor, E-R. And then you can send that to the following address, 2976 Honey, H-O-N-E-Y, Valley, V-A-L-L-E-Y, Road, Dallastown, D-A-L-L-A-S-P-O-W-N, Pennsylvania, 17313. And, Kenny, if you would like to now conclude, maybe give an extra word of invitation from the scriptures, and then play the invitation song. And, Lord boy, dear listener, please, I appreciate when you here in the land of Israel as you continue to pray for God to open up that permanent door for me here. I just want to thank you, and I want to praise you, albeit my Lord and Savior, and give thanks to him for you, dear listener, and your prayers. And we're saying, God bless you and yours. And now, Kenny, if you would just give an extra word of invitation for the scriptures and play the invitation song, please.
Well, I'd be happy to do that, Tim. As we find in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, you will find that Jesus was crucified. Now, many people may think Well, that was the end. Well, they say, well, that was the end of him. He got what he justly deserved. But that isn't the end of the story. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given under heaven which by men shall be saved, and that name being Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 10, he is the doorway. Any man come up any other way is a thief and a robber. Let me ask you, dear listener, especially those of you out there, it doesn't matter whether you have an apartment or if you have a home of your own. Let me ask you, would you permit somebody to come into your house via a window? Huh? Would you just like them to come in any way they want, come through a back window, a bedroom window, a kitchen window, a whatever way they want? Wouldn't you like them to knock on the front door and wait for your invitation to come in? Even if they came to the front door, if they just barged right in, you'd call them a thief, and you'd be calling the cops. Even if you don't have windows, you would say, well, if they didn't knock on the door and ask for permission, they're a thief. They came in for nefarious reasons. They came in for mean and hurtful reasons. They want to steal my property. They want to harm my person. Well, Jesus said the same thing. Remember, heaven is God's home. It's his home. Not yours. Not mine. Not Fred's, not Joe's, not Pete's or Harry's. Not Mary's, not Julie's, not Janet's. Dear listener, it's not your home. So it gives you no rights as to how you enter. God's home is his home, thus he determines the way you come in. And he said, Jesus said, I am the doorway. Any man comes up any other way is a thief and a robber. So you got to come through him. Well, that's just too restricted. That bloody religion, excuse me, you may call it bloody religion, you may call it restricted, you may call it anything you want, but again, it is God's home. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You could help all the little old ladies across the street. You could help all the little blind guys across the street. You could do anything you want. You could buy all the Boy Scout cookies, all the Girl Scout cookies you want. You could do everything you want. You could go to all the council meetings in town and everything you could think of to do. You could go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, and every time the doors open. But if you don't have Christ, you're going to burn in hell. Christ is the only doorway. Remember, he said he's the only doorway. Tim made mention of this scripture earlier. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. They hear my voice. Now, if you're not Christ, you're not going to hear his voice. And no man's able to pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now you notice, they're in Jesus' hand, and they're in the Father's hand at the same time. Now how could that be? Well, Jesus went on to explain that. I and my Father are one. Jesus is God. That's how it's possible. And, of course, the Jews after that got mad and picked up stones to stone him. And he says, why are you stoning me for a good work? And, they said, no, but you, being a man, claim to be equal to be God, with God. See, they knew that Jesus was claiming to be equal with the Father, because he was equal with the Father. Jesus is God. Dear listener, today, the Bible also says, not by works of righteousness, all those good little things you could do, not by them, not by the works of righteousness that you could do. You could keep all the Ten Commandments, etc., etc. You could live all the good things. You could go to Mass. You could go to communion. You could go to confession. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved it. It's his mercy. It's all Christ, Christ alone. Remember, he's the only doorway. Now, they thought he failed. Those Jews in that day thought that Christ failed. They thought, okay, well, when he died, he failed. Even some of the disciples thought he failed. But when he resurrected, they realized, no, he rose again. But when he explained to them after his resurrection what the scriptures meant and what it was all about, they realized Christ did not fail. He did not fail in his mission when the soldiers drove the nails. He did not fail when he shed his blood on Calvary's hill. They realized that when the soldiers made a crown of thorns and crowned him king, they crowned a king eternal. So, as we play this song, he did not fail. Remember, he did not fail for you, and today is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Let this be your day, and then get in contact with us via the email address that Tim gave you, so that you can let us know of your decision to become a child of God. Once again, that email address is thewordoftheking.av1611@hotmail.com. And here we go. Amen. And with that, we're going to say God bless, good evening, and we'll catch you next time on the Word of the King, next Tuesday at 1 p.m. here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. But also want to remind everybody to join us tomorrow for either of the two shows we have on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one found on our new station, Six Eyes Radio Network Station 2, and that will be at 1 p.m. for our children's program, and you call the number 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern, right here at the Six Eyes Radio Network Station 2, and that's our children's program for all the little ones. We will be having a Wednesday Bible study time for them. And then, of course, our Wednesday night Bible study for all the adults will be handled our regular Wednesday night Bible study for the Six Eyes Radio Network, 7 p.m. right here at Station 1, 7 p.m. Eastern, and that is, of course, the same number as always that you call, 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. We'll be glad to see you at either show. God bless, good night, and we'll catch you tomorrow.